It's just a very short reading this morning from Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things.
Good morning, everybody, and a very warm welcome to Andy and Ruth's family as well. It's good to have you all with us. This is the seventh in our series that we're running both in the mornings and the evenings, and when we're looking at the work of the Holy Spirit in transforming our lives. And in my introductory message to the series weeks ago now, I explained that the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives is like a partnership. There are things that He does, there are things that we do. And together we live life before Him. We can't change ourselves, but the Holy Spirit doesn't change us without our cooperation either, without us being willing for that to happen. And the Holy Spirit comes to empower us, to help us, to guide us in every aspect of our lives, not just the supposed sort of spiritual bits, if you like. And as believers, everything that we have belongs to God, and He wants to be involved in every part of our lives. And through the Holy Spirit living within us, God wants us to become like Jesus. That's what it's all about. In our thoughts, our attitudes, our words, our actions, we represent Jesus to the world as His ambassadors, if you like. And our task is to faithfully represent Him. And our life needs to be consistent with His character. And so if you want to know what Jesus is like, Jesus is like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And so today we're going to look at how the Holy Spirit brings those things about in our lives. Jesus has got something to say about fruit in our lives in Matthew chapter 7. He tells us that the fruit gives you a clue as to the nature of the tree. And everyone bears fruit of one sort or another. And that sometimes it's more obvious than others, but ultimately, as is the root, so is the fruit. So let's just read it. Beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are really vicious wolves. You can identify them by their fruit, that is, by the way they act. Can you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? A good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. So every tree that doesn't bear good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. So what determines the fruit? The fruit is determined by the sap that runs through the entire tree. And this is about the Holy Spirit having access to our lives through the doorway of our spirit and our will. But Jesus is saying here that not everything is always as it appears to be. The fruit that the tree bears is actually part of a process. And that process involves planting and fertilizing and pruning and spraying and watering and month in, month out, until the fruit finally becomes visible. In Matamata in New Zealand, they created the Hobbit village film set for The Lord of the Rings. And the book requires an oak tree to be in place over one of the Hobbit holes. But the filmmakers didn't have time to plant the seed and wait for it to grow and all the rest of it. So they did the next best thing, and they faked it. And they got a tree, and they cut it down, and then they stuck plastic leaves on this tree, and then staked it all back together again and scaffolded it up, and it looked like a wonderful tree. So they could do the filming even in winter. That was the thinking behind it. And you can see the remains of the tree now, just dead piles of wood and odd bits of metal from the scaffolding that was holding it up and the rest of it. And in our passage in Matthew, Jesus says that in the same way, people can often appear to be something different to what they actually are. But you can't keep the pretense up for long. That glorious tree is now just a lump of rubbish. And Jesus says that the fruit in our lives is a reflection of what's going on in our hearts. I was thinking as the promo for Rise was on about that tea bag in Transme in the teapot. I don't know if you noticed that, and it struck me that it's a bit of an example of life in a sense that you only know what somebody's really like. We're a bit like a tea bag, because you only know what somebody's really like when they're in hot water. And that's maybe something just to chew on. I want you to think of a wedding for a minute, which is often used as a picture of the relationship between God and his church. And it's an event. It signifies a dramatic change in your life. But that wedding day is just an event. It happens, but then it's followed by a process of living together, of changing together, of doing life together that lasts for a lifetime. That's the intention of it. But the wedding day alone doesn't guarantee you happiness, because your life changes after that moment. And you've made a commitment to someone, and you can't just carry on living life as if you were still a single person. Everything changes. And that requires some considerable acts of your will as you start doing things that will please your other half rather than necessarily things that will please you. And it's the same in our walk with God. There is a big event when we first promise our lives to Jesus, when we promise to follow Jesus, where we commit ourselves to him, which opens the door to a new relationship with him. But it's the little acts where we put his will first before ours that actually cement that relationship into our life, and it becomes harmonious, if you like. And we all want fast track, shortcuts, instant changes, this sort of one-off touch of God that will somehow solve all our problems and everything will be fine. That's just wishful thinking to escape, if you like, to have an easy life. And the Apostle Peter also presents us with the lists of the fruit of the Spirit, which are remarkably similar to those listed by Paul in his letter to the Galatians. And Peter emphasizes that they only come about intentionally, part of a day-to-day walking with God, working with God for change. So this is what Peter says. And as we read the passage, I want you to note the things that God does for us. In other words, his part in this partnership, and the things that we're expected to make an effort in. Note also for you linguists that the passage is in the present imperative tense. It's something that we have to do now. Just as producing any fruit takes effort, planting good seed, watering, feeding, pruning, all the rest of it, it's the same in our lives. And our character is simply an accumulation of the small life choices that we make. And God wants us to invite the Holy Spirit into our lives to help us to make good choices. God never says no for us. We are responsible for how we behave. But at the same time, the Holy Spirit strengthens us to take the good choices through, because we will battle against the pressures of the world, the flesh and the devil, and it's the Holy Spirit that strengthens us and enables us to see it through. So on that introduction, let's read the passage. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. Do you get that bit? God has given us everything we need to live a godly life. We've received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. Great and precious promises that enable you to share his divine nature. In other words, to live out these fruits of what he's like and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. In view of all this, make every effort, that's our bit, to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. And the more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Fruitful. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they've been cleansed from their old sins. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Do these things, and you'll never fall away. And here's the promise at the end, and we'll talk about that later. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. Good fruit does not appear overnight, but it's an accumulation of our decisions and life choices. Because love only develops when you choose to show it when faced with hatred or disdain. When it's not being returned. Maybe the opposite is being returned. Anyone can love someone who loves them. But what about loving people when it's not returned? Joy. Joy only develops when we choose not to dwell on our problems. We choose to focus on the good things that God has given us. Peace or serenity. It only comes when we choose to quietly commit troubled times to God. Patience. Patience develops when you're in a trying situation with trying people and you choose not to lose your temper. It's what church is about. Families. People we do life with. Kindness. When you choose to be gracious and generous to someone who has no claim on you and can never return the favor, may in fact want to do you harm. Goodness. Goodness only comes when you choose to do battle with evil stuff in your life. Faithfulness. When you choose to be loyal to someone, even though it costs you, you suffer as a result. Faithfulness. Gentleness only develops when you choose not to be rough or abrasive or difficult. Self-control only comes when you choose to ignore a powerful temptation to do something different. But it's not all about us, because we initiate the desire to do these things, and the Holy Spirit enables us to do them. And we sometimes wonder why we always seem to be up against it. Often it's not because we're doing the wrong thing, but it's because we're doing the right thing. Pruning and shaping seems painful. But there's no fruit otherwise. And the brilliant thing is that once you've committed your will to God and made some of the hard choices to show these fruit, then the Holy Spirit empowers you to see it through. So this is the order of things. Transformed as we commit our lives to Christ. Surrendered as we seek the Holy Spirit to come and fill us. And fruitful as that works out in our lives. Last Thursday, I got to the stage in the office at home where I became stir crazy. And I decided I was going to dust the bike off and do the guild wheel. The tyres needed pumping up. It was the first time the bike had been out that year. So I got our pump out, this pump, to pump up the tyres. And I broke the valve. Again. And I had to put another valve on, and another tube in rather, and then went and did the guild wheel. And it seemed to take an age. For those of you who can see, I'm not sure whether it's clear, But at the top left-hand corner, have we stuck? There we are. At the top left-hand corner of the screen, there's a little thing that was on the bike. There's 1,177 feet of ascent as you go up and down on that guild wheel, cumulatively, over the time. And I got back after that, after not a very good time, feeling absolutely done in. Those ascents were hard work. The bike seemed to be working against me, and I was fed up. And on Friday, I asked a friend, one, why the valve kept breaking. And he told me I was using the wrong pump. And so I went to Forward Cycles, and this is what they told me. Now, this is a pump. And so, at the same time I was in the bike shop, I asked him what pressure the tyres should be under. And he said between 60 and 85 psi. Now, this pump has never put it to more than about 30. And so I've been riding my bike with the tyres less than half properly inflated forever. And so I pumped up the tyres on Friday to the due pressure and went to ride. It was an eye-opener. The hills were still there, but they just didn't seem as steep. And rather than the bike fighting against me, it seemed to actually make it easier. Because I'd got the right amount of wind in my tyres. You know where this is going, don't you? And in the same way, trying to live the Christian life without being inflated and filled to the right pressure by the Holy Spirit is like trying to ride a bike with flat tires. It really is. You can just about ride on the flat, but you try on one of the hills and you've absolutely had it. It's impossible. But then you would ask, so how do I get pumped up with this Holy Spirit? Whose chief desire is to help us to do life well. And Jesus says the answer is simple. Ask. He longs to fill us with the Holy Spirit. He longs to enable us to do life well. He longs to meet our needs. He wants to do life with us. But there is a but. We also have to put ourselves in a position to receive the blessing. Yesterday, at our fun day, Pastor Andrew Gardner sat on this stool. And from the moment he sat on that stool, the end was inevitable. He chose to sit there. Many didn't. Many liked the idea of being drenched on a hot, very hot afternoon. But Andrew was the one who sat there. And once he'd sat there, it was inevitable what was going to happen. He put himself in a place where he was able to receive the showers. And in the same way, we have to put ourselves in a place where we can receive God's Holy Spirit pouring into our lives. And how do we do that? It boils down to our intentions. It's one thing to say, oh, Lord, Holy Spirit, come and fill me, come and do great things, and do nothing about it. But to actually intentionally desire God's Holy Spirit working in our lives. A few minutes ago, Abby and Ruth dedicated their new little daughter, Esme. It was an intentional act. It was planned. It was decided. It was something they wanted to do. And they've intentionally promised to bring her up, together with her big sister Sophie, who's now gone into children's church, yes? And they've intentionally promised to bring them up in the nurture of God, in a family which loves and cares for them, where their lives reflect and mirror Holy Spirit values and principles. They're Jesus ambassadors to their kids. And Sophie and Esme, like all children, will quickly spot, well, mum and dad tell them to do one thing, but actually do something different themselves. And I don't know how it works in your family, but when our kids used to do things that didn't please Val, she would look at me and say, "That's you." And it was all my bad faults that the kids had got, and all her good ones. But you know what I'm saying. Our children do what we do, not do what we say. And that's why we all joined in praying for Andy and Ruth, who are great parents, by the way. And indeed all parents and grandparents. That's tough as well. That we might each be strengthened by the Holy Spirit in the lives that we live before them and our families. But what sort of influence do we have? What's the fruit of our behaviours? How does that influence people? This remarkable lady's funeral was held last month. She'd not had an easy life. But Pastor Andrew Gardner concluded the service by saying this, and I quote, "If you want to sum up Margaret Sutton, it would be that she made the fruit of the Spirit visible by her life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That was Margaret Sutton. She was no holier than thou. She was fun. She never had to be asked to smile for a photo. And she was a rock and a delight to everybody that knew her." How did she do it? By intentionally deciding to follow Jesus and invite the Holy Spirit to mold her will and her choices. Question: will that be your epitaph? Because we write our epitaph day by day, all of us, even young ones, in the decisions that you make, which all build up to make your character. Every decision we make builds that up. Why don't we invite the Holy Spirit to fill us and direct our thoughts, determine our habits, determine our actions, build our habits, create our character, and finally fulfill our destiny? Because all of that will be made visible in the fruit that you bear. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Life's problems will not disappear, but your life will be fulfilled and transformed. The passage in Peter talked about Jesus waiting to give you the grand entrance into heaven because your choices pleased him so much. And your loved ones will notice you're a far nicer person to have around. That's got to be worth doing.